promises of God. These things are precious promises, and so they're definitely worth a topical study. And as we do a topical study, we've got to be very careful. How many of you remember your geometry and your proofs? All right, nobody liked doing geometry because of the proofs. But you know, angle, side, angle, side, 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 angle, angle, angle. Yet you had to prove, you know, there's a truth here, and it applies. And this is why it applies. And so as we do a tropical study on promises, we've already noted that it's only good to the individuals that it was given to. And so we've got to be very careful that we, as looking at Old Testament promises that are in the context of Israel, that we're not just claiming everything without doing the proofs. And tonight I didn't spend the time to try to argue out all of the proofs. I did separate out a few things that are, I think, very directly related to Israel. And yet there's other things there that were directly given to Israel, but there are New Testament passages that we could look to argue that a New Testament believer has the same claims on those promises. But I didn't, you know, work out every one of those. And it's kind of dangerous to just do proof texting. And each of these texts really deserves deeper study. But in doing that, I think we would get so slow and deep into the topic that we'd kind of miss out on the bigger picture. And so want to just to kind of keep that in our mind as a caution to us as we're doing this. So you may disagree with some of my classifications or something, and that's fine, and I don't claim inspiration in these things, but I think there is a value as we look at these specific promises. Let's start off with a little tidbit. As I find them, I'll try to bring them to you. I thought this was an interesting way of thinking of things. Spurgeon illustrates the promises of God in terms of a check. And if I owe you money or something, I might write you out a check. And on that check, there's the very specified amount. It tells who it's written to. And there's a date on there. And so I hand you that check. You put it in your purse or your wallet, and it rides around there for a month, and then I wonder how come my checking account won't balance, right? Unless that check is large enough, in which case you're eager. I'm going to get this thing down to the bank today, right? But in taking that to the bank, there's some things you have to do. You have to endorse the back of that check. And Spurgeon likes that to claiming the promise by faith. I trust that this check was written to me, for me. If I give it to the banker, I'm claiming it as my own. And there's a faith element there. The second aspect was that you not only sign it, but you have to take it to the bank. You have to take it to the deposit window and have the transaction. You could sign it and leave it in your purse or your wallet, and you never have the benefit of it. You say, yeah, I believe. I believe the promises of God's word. But it doesn't do you the benefit unless you are claiming it. And we do that in prayer. But there are some times when you get a check that is post-dated. You know, they said, please don't cash this yet. In fact, they'll write the date at a later time, and technically the bank isn't supposed to take it if the date hasn't passed. And so you're waiting. You know that you take that to the window, the bank teller says, no, I can't give you the money because the date hasn't happened yet. And so there's some of our promises that are like that, in that they have a date. And God knows the date, and sometimes He's revealed that to us, but other times He hasn't. And we just have to patiently wait till the day, and we go to the window, and we ask, is it yet? No. Is it yet? No. But we keep claiming that until the day comes when the answer is yes, and we're able to receive that blessing. I just thought that was an interesting way of thinking about the promises of God and some of our human responsibilities in claiming those promises. We have to claim them by faith. We need to be claiming them in prayer. Psalm 119:49. David was one that regularly took the promises that God had given him back to God in prayer. And here we see him calling upon God, remember these promises you gave me. You've given me these promises, and it stirred up hope. It gave me an anticipation, a confidence. But now I'm trying to claim these, and I need you to remember the promises that you've made. And so he claims them by prayer. And so it is important that we take the promises that are so precious in Scripture, those we would say we believe them, we need to take them to the Lord in prayer. So tonight I want to look at promises for seekers. Promises for seekers. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. Okay, we see a very precious promise here that God had given to Israel. And some of this is in the context of distress and their failings, and yet God's promise that if they would seek Him, He would be found. 1 Chronicles 28 and verses 8 and 9, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. 2 Chronicles 15, 2, and then Jeremiah 29, 13. Okay, the precious element there. But we see that this is a conditional situation. Those promises start with the word if. If you will seek me. That's our responsibility. It's an ongoing responsibility. The people were supposed to be seeking God all their life long. But there are times when they needed this precious promise, when they have realized that they had wandered, they had received the judgment of God, they're suffering under the consequences of their sin, they're feeling their guilt and their misery, and what a comfort it is to them that they know that should they turn to God, and if they would seek Him, even at that point in time, that God would be found by them. That's very precious. So it's conditional. You have to do the seeking. What would we liken this? How would we illustrate seeking God? Is there any human relationships that we might look to or things that we could illustrate this with? Finding a spouse. That's one that kind of came to my mind. Just like that dating situation. It's kind of neat to go to places like camp where your kids are with a bunch of their peers and just kind of keep an eye on them. It's like we were up there at camp, and the very first day I went and sat down to dinner, I looked over my shoulder. I wanted to see who was sitting next to Jonathan. And then I looked the next day. Is it the same person? You know, an alert adult will pick up on the fact before the young man will. Is there somebody interested? We go to faith, and there's always certain people hanging around Philip. And I think for a while, Philip was pretty clueless. But we know what's going on. Why? Because those that are seeking after Him, they want to be in their presence. They want interaction with them. They wait upon their every word. They wait upon their every action. They're constantly looking. Their eyes are not, you know, jumping from person to person, and they're not just moving from one person to another person, but they're tied down, in a sense, with their attention given to the one who they're seeking. We see that this is a wholehearted seeking. It's not half-hearted. Sometimes we see this in the things that our kids desire. And whether it's the wanting to go someplace or they want to go purchase something, and they just pester you, and their whole lives are starting to mold around this desire. They're looking forward to that moment. And everything they're doing is working toward that. They'll do chores to make some extra money. They'll try to do things that will open up mom and dad's time so that they'd have a chance to go and do this thing. And their whole heart is in it. Whereas at other times, you know, you can't get them to clean their room or to wash the dishes or something because it's not a wholehearted thing. And so we see the conditional elements here. We see the relational elements. When I started looking at these promises for seekers, I expected this one. And yet I thought maybe there would be a variety of things throughout the Word of God that would be promises for those that sought after something else. And there are a few of those things, but this is the primary one that is repeated time and again throughout Scripture. I mean, we've already looked at four of those verses, and we can see it in other wordings that might not be as clear in the sense of a promise. It's going to come up. We're going to look at a bunch more verses with different elements, different aspects of promise to it, but it's all centered around this seeking after God with our whole heart. It should be the primary thing, the primary seeking of our life. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22.
Okay.
Those that seek Him will have His good hand upon them. And this wasn't phrased directly from God in this passage, but what He's doing is taking a biblical truth and claiming it in testimony before an unbeliever. And so I see it is still a promise that God's good hand will be upon those that seek after Him. Job is one of the earliest books of the Bible, and it was a truth that was recognized even before much of the revelation has been given. Job 8, verses 5 through 7. Okay, and he's recognizing there that God blesses those that seek Him, that there's good things will happen. And, of course, they were incorrect as they were rebuking Him, thinking that He had sinned and had strayed from God, and this was the only basis that they had to go on. You know, that God blesses the righteous, He condemns the wicked. And that is a general truth, but it's recognized here that as we seek God, His good hand is upon us. But sometimes the good that He's accomplishing comes after some hardship. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good. He is good to us. We want to always be mindful of the goodness of God. And that's why we include times of thanksgiving and praise to stop and recognize. Sometimes we don't realize that God's been fulfilling His promise in our life, and we're not sensitive enough to it. We're too taken with the hardships of life to realize the good hand of God. And even in the hard things that He brings into our life, He intends them for good. We think of Joseph. His brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it was hard. You can't say otherwise. To be hated by your brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, thrown into temptation and then into prison, that's really hard things. But overall, the good hand of God was still upon him. He was one that was seeking after God, and God's good hand was on him. Psalm 22, verse 26. Okay, all who seek him will praise him. There is ample blessings in the life of those that seek after God. And there will be a point in time when we recognize the fullness of God's blessing. We may be ungrateful at times, and we could be ungrateful through our life. But when we stand before the throne of God and all is completed, we will have cause to praise the Lord. We have sought after the Lord, and we continue to seek faithfully after God. And even though life may continue to be hard, and we don't see the answers to prayers that we might desire to see, we will one day give him the glory. Psalm 34:10. Okay. All who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Of course, that's not to say that we won't lack desires that we have, but God knows what is ultimately good. He knows what is best for us, and he knows what is harmful to us. And sometimes those things which we would look at as being good, God knows would also be harmful. And sometimes the things that we look at as being evil or bad are actually the things that we really need. That God is going to meet our needs as we seek after him. All who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Psalm 69, verses 32 and 33. As you back up into that passage, you see that it is, again, a difficult time. In verse 29, "But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bull which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek God, your hearts shall live." It's similar to the previous passage, that there is ample things, even as we look at other people's lives and how they are seeking God, it brings us an opportunity as well. And he says that those that seek the Lord, their heart shall live. I think that's more than just physical life. I think that speaks of spiritual life. It speaks of joy. There is a living that is not living, right? You may have physical life, but you're just as good as dead. Your life, you have no joy, you're bitter, and so forth. And those things are just a living death. He says, the one that seeks the Lord, his heart will live. And we talk about our eternal life, spiritual life. That's not, you know, the flesh and blood. That's going to die and be buried and turned to dust and one day be resurrected and all of that. But that spiritual life, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he becomes a spring of living water within us. It is springing up a fountain that is there constantly, a freshness. So those that seek God would have a freshness of life. Amos 5 and verse 4, "Seek me and live." Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Okay, again, the context there, this is the prophets. They're written at times when Israel has gone astray and God is trying to call them back. He's pronouncing judgments. They're suffering the consequences of their sins. And here is this precious promise to them that if they would seek him in repentance, he will find mercy. He will find the forgiveness of sin. But it requires a humility. Again, this is This is conditional. If you seek him in humility and repentance, then you will find mercy and forgiveness of sin. And sadly, such a precious promise is not fulfilled. They didn't turn their hearts to God. They didn't find mercy. And yet God was still merciful, and he's still working. Hosea 5 and verse 15. Without repentance, seeking is vain. He's going to return to his place. He's stepping away from his people. They may be giving some kind of verbal outward agreement to truth. They may be the words are on their lips that they're seeking God. They're going up to the temple or whatever, but their heart is not in it. And until they humble themselves in repentance, God is going to withhold himself from the seeker. And so even that is a promise from God that he's going to withhold himself. Matthew 6 and verse 33. This is very similar to no good thing will the Lord withhold. But back up a couple of verses and tell me, what is it that he's not going to withhold? What is it that we will be added to our lives? Don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. It doesn't say what you're going to drive, right? It doesn't say the size of the house that you would live in. It doesn't say the costliness of the clothes that you will be wearing. It doesn't say that we're going to have opportunities to travel the world and sightsee and enjoy all of God's creation in that way. It doesn't tell us we're going to have all of the recreational toys that we want. What's it telling us? It's the necessities of life. If you seek the kingdom, the necessities of life will be added to you. So now we're kind of moving a little bit away from seeking God personally. We're seeing some other things that we can set our hearts on and seek after. And it is seeking the kingdom of God here. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Again, one of those wonderful word pictures, right? If you look for something, you're going to find it. We have other parables in Scripture about seeking things, right? What are some of the things that were sought? The lost coin, the lost lamb, the lost son. Yeah. And knock. It's always a disappointment when you go to visit somebody and you knock and nobody's home. And all of that expended effort, and you've taken time out of your day to go and do this, and it's a failure. Or you have a need, and that you know that they have what you need, and they're not there to provide it. But the preciousness of the promise that as we go to God in prayer, and we're knocking at his door, he's home. He's going to answer the door. He knows how to give good things. And that talks about a father knows how to give good gifts to his children. You don't give harmful things when they come asking for food and their needs. The father knows how to give good gifts. How much more our heavenly Father? If you seek him, you will find him. I think that's kind of a neat principle that's developed here, that generally speaking, the things that you seek after, you find. And oftentimes we are seeking the wrong things, and we're going to find the wrong things. It's easy to think about things that we sought after and didn't find, but the general principle is if you're looking for something, you're more likely to find it. Here's some of those that I separated out as being more specifically for the people of Israel. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Okay. And this is one that we certainly have principles here that we can draw from, but again, Israel had very specific relationship to the covenant promises of God in relationship to the land, that they would remain in the land, that the land would be fruitful. If they did not seek after God, the land would become unfruitful, and eventually they'd be removed from the land. And so we see that close relationship there. There are still principles here I think you can illustrate and prove out from other places, this aspect of humbly returning to God and repentance and forgiveness of sin, that He is always faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. Let's go to Isaiah 65 and verse 10. Okay, and this is within a very specific context, again, that God was telling them that they're going to be removed from the land, but there's going to be a remnant that's going to be there, and if those people would seek after God, that that His blessing would still be on them, that He would increase them in that. And ultimately, the fulfillment of Israel in a prosperous land is going to be accomplished when Jesus Christ comes again and rules and reigns here on earth. But if Israel was to seek God, God was going to prosper them in the land. And then Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay, the Lord was going to come suddenly. The Lord that they were seeking, that Messiah, the coming Savior. And we know that this was in part fulfilled in Jesus Christ, in that John the Baptist was the forerunner, and Christ came to earth and offered Himself to be the King of Israel. They rejected Him. But then this is a verse that's going to be fulfilled yet, when Jesus Christ comes to the earth to rule and to reign over His people, and it's going to happen suddenly. And so, again, it is the Lord that they are seeking after in that case, and He will come suddenly. Luke 17:33. We're getting into seeking other things. I liked a statement that I read this last week. It was in that book, Seeking God, that I mentioned this morning. But he was talking about the Beatitudes, and he says that Jesus Christ never gave an opinion. And I never thought of it that way, but that's a true statement. He was speaking with authority from God. He didn't offer an opinion. He stated truth, and He gave concrete promises and principles. And He's telling us, if you seek your life, what's going to happen? You will lose it. That's not an opinion. That's a promise. If you seek your life, you will lose it. Seekers of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 2, and we don't have to read the whole chapter, but let's read five or six verses here and catch the gist of it here. Okay, and the rest of the chapter goes on and gives out some of those blessings of seeking after wisdom and the value of wisdom in our life. And if we seek godly wisdom, biblical wisdom, not worldly wisdom, if we're heeding the Word of God, that's going to it's going to bear a fruit in our life. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. Okay, again, this is a chapter on the excellence of wisdom. And if you seek after me, or if you seek wisdom, you will find me. Again, that common element. We seek after God, we seek after the kingdom, we seek after the things of God, we seek after the Word of God. What is the base element of that? We will find what we're seeking. It may seem like a struggle. I need wisdom, and I'm going to the Word, I'm trying to figure things out. But the promise of the Word is that we will find when we seek after God. Proverbs 17:11. Okay, evil man is going to seek after rebellion, and a cruel messenger is going to be sent after him. That's a cruel messenger from God. I just think of King Saul. right? It says that God removed his spirit from him and sent a tormenting spirit. And he was tormented. And God has different ways of doing that. It doesn't always have to look like King Saul. But to know that the rebellious are going to suffer for their rebellion. So we've made a distinction before we started our study that there are promises and there are truths. The truth is a statement of fact. The promise is an anticipation into the future. That's kind of the distinction there. And we also noted that the truths bear with them many of the same types of benefits and encouragements that the promises have, maybe even more so. And as we look at this idea of seeking, there are some things, some verses that came out that are facts. They are promises, but they are truth. They're already in place. Psalm 14:2, and this is repeated in Psalm 53:2, so we don't have to have them both read. Psalm 14:2. Okay, it's not that God will look, he is looking. He always looks. He is always looking for those that seek after him. And that ties so well into the fact that those that seek will find. God isn't like trying to hide himself from us. He's looking and ready to respond to the one that will look to him. Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked do not seek God. God is not in any of his thoughts. That's just a fact. And out of that fact comes the judgment that is produced by their rebellion against God. Psalm 119 and verse 2. Okay, that very first word, blessed. We know that blessed is the man from Psalm 1. And we see it here in Psalm 119. We see it again in the Beatitudes when Jesus is pronouncing blessings on those. It's a sense of happiness. There's a joy. Happy is the man because he is blessed by God. The one who seeks God is happy. He is blessed. He is joyful. It's not will be blessed, not will be happy. This is a condition, not necessarily an emotion. We can be thankful for that because our emotions don't always line up with God's reality. Isaiah 45:19, okay, the New King James is, instead of waste place, it is vain, empty, an empty place. The contrast there is that previous verses was talking about the creation, and when God told his people to seek him, it wasn't without purpose, it wasn't to lead them into a wilderness. It's not to frustrate us. God does not design to frustrate his people. We sometimes get frustrated, but we have to go back to the truth that God is love and all that he does in my life is loving. He is good. All that he's doing in my life is good. He says, seek me, therefore he intends that I should find him. He is not trying to hide himself. He's not trying to make this difficult. It's not a game of hide and seek. He says, seek me because he intends to be found. That's a real encouragement to us. Along with that, Isaiah 145 and verse 18. Yes, it would be, wouldn't it? Isaiah would not have 145 chapters. Again, it's not a promise. He's not saying the Lord will be near. He is near. It's a wonderful truth of the omnipresence of God. Everywhere we go, we cannot escape his presence. He is near to us. We see it again brought out in when Paul was speaking on Mars Hill. We live within the realm of God. We live in his presence constantly. It's not that we have to go a long distance or perform strange feats and hard and difficult things, and we don't have to earn money and expense in order to accomplish these things. God is that near. He wants to be found. He wants to be sought after. He will not cause us to be frustrated in that seeking, but He wants our hearts. Seek after Him with your whole heart. Seek after Him humbly, in repentance, and He will be found, and the wisdom and blessing that comes with it. Lee, can I get you to close in prayer tonight?